This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Excuse me. This hour, we're talking about girls, women, and mathematics, and some surprising success that girls who love math have been enjoying lately. Surveys say that U.S. students do poorly in math compared to their peers in other countries, but just last month, for the first time, a team of American girls went to China to compete in the 2007 China Girls Mathematical Olympiad. One team member won a gold medal and tied for first place. Her teammates won a silver medal and three bronze. Yay for them. How did that happen? This hour, we'll ask a member of the U.S. girls team, as well as one of her coaches, who's done pretty well herself in a few mathematics competitions like the International Mathematical Olympiad. And we'll find out what the future holds for talented girls and women from the only woman mathematician, we believe, who's now a college president. But first, remember that Jimmy Buffett song called Math Sucks? Well, my first guest has an answer for Jimmy. Danica McKellar is a Hollywood actress. She says math doesn't suck. In fact, math and being a good math student are really cool. You might have thought Danica was very cool when she was on The Wonder Years and The West Wing. And on October 15th, you can catch her on How I Met Your Mother. But Danica also majored in math at UCLA. And she graduated summa cum laude and has co-authored a paper on a proof that's named after her. And as I say, she's now written a book for girls, Math Doesn't Suck, How to Survive Middle School Math Without Losing Your Mind or Breaking a Nail. And she's here with us, Danica McKellar. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you for having me.
Did you have to hide your math knowledge?
Did I have to hide
did
it?
You have to, did you have to make believe you would be too nerdy if people knew how good you were at math?
Well, I didn't get really, really good at math until college. I mean, I was good at math in high school, too, but college is when I really made it my life.
And what changed? What made it part of your life then?
I guess I had an inherent love for it, which I got a chance to discover in college. I struggled like many, many students in middle school. I did not always love math. It used to terrify me. Yeah. So I know what that's like. There is a light at the end of the tunnel.
You know, when I ask mathematicians and scientists what changed their lives, most of them say there was a person, one person who turned them around, a teacher, a parent. Was that true in your case?
Absolutely. There's a story that I tell in Math Doesn't Suck about how a seventh grade teacher of mine really helped me in my moment of need. I was taking a quiz. I was flunking it. I had written nothing on the quiz. I remember this horrible sinking feeling like, I'm going to turn in a blank quiz. I had studied so hard. I really did try, and nothing looked familiar. Mm-hmm. Everybody turned in their quizzes. Bell rang. People are standing up, leaving the classroom. I couldn't move. I was terrified. And the teacher, Mrs. Jacobson, just looked at me and smiled, and she let me keep working on the quiz all throughout recess, the 15 minutes. And I don't know why she reached out to me at that moment, but it really helped me, and I relaxed. I was able to answer some questions, and it was a big turning point. She continued to make math fun, accessible, and not such a big deal, not such a life or death crisis.
Right. And what made you then decide to write a book about all of this? Math Doesn't Suck.
Well, after I graduated from UCLA in mathematics, I loved it, but I missed acting so much. I knew I was going to go back to acting. And you really can't do both full-time because there's only so many hours in the day. And I wanted to keep up my math somehow. So on my website, danicamckellar.com, I started answering math questions.
Oh, really?
I was answering fan mail anyway. And so people asked me about math. And I started answering questions. I started getting asked more questions. I created a math page for my website. And so for years and years, I answered math questions, and it was my way of keeping up my math hobby. Then an article came out in the New York Times in 2005 about how in between The Wonder Years and The West Wing, I co-authored a research paper in mathematics and how unusual that was. And at that point, a literary agent in New York, Laura Nolan of the Creative Culture, called my manager and said, "We think Danica is a great role model and she should write a math book." And I was like, "Oh my goodness, why hadn't I thought of that? I love that idea." And it's just been a complete joy.
Are you still answering math questions online? You still have a section?
Every now and then. I actually answer more questions directly to people when I have time.
Really?
Yeah, but mostly my focus in terms of teaching math is now the book.
Now, in your book, you have a nice feature. Each chapter has something called Danica's Diary.
Yes.
And you give out personal little hints and tidbits in those sections. And one in particular sticks out that says, "Dumbing ourselves down for other people."
Yes. I tell stories about myself usually in middle school stories about how I struggled with math or struggled with self-esteem issues and just stuff that kids can relate to.
If you want to relate to Danica and our other guests on Math This Hour, our number is 1-800-989-8255. 1-800-989-TALK, also on Second Life. You can find this in the science, in the little science section they have over there. So when did you realize? You said it took.
Well, I don't want to leave the dumbing ourselves down thing just quite yet.
Oh, no, go right ahead.
No, one thing I want to say is when I was doing research for this book, I did a ton of surveys that were sent out to teenagers all throughout high schools in this country, and I just asked a few questions because I wanted to have quotes throughout the book to see what kids were thinking about and talking about. What do you think of math? What did you used to think about math? What do you think about smart girls? And what do you think about dumb girls? And overwhelmingly, I got the response, there are no dumb girls. They just pretend to be dumb. And this is from 12-year-olds.
Wow.
I was floored. I mean, I went to an all-girls school. I probably was saved from some of this. The feeling that girls have, and I learned through all these surveys and talking to people and talking to girls and teachers, that girls still believe they need to dumb themselves down to become appealing to boys or to be considered cool.
Yeah.
And this horrified me. So I learned what an issue this really is. And so online at mathdoesntsuck.com, because I've got personality quizzes in the book.
Right.
Are you a mathophobe? And fun things like that, because I love quizzes. And online I put a quiz that says, you know, do you hide your smarts? So it's that issue of dumbing ourselves down. Now, one of the worst things you can do in middle school is to be a show-off. And I'm completely aware of that because I learned that in surveys too, and I remember that as well. She thinks she's all that. Okay, this is death to a middle schooler socially. So I talk on the quiz about that balance between not hiding yourself and not dumbing yourself down, not being less than who you are, and yet also not flaunting it when you get an A and not being like a show-off because nobody likes a show-off.
And I found that the style that you wrote the book is designed deliberately to appeal to girls.
Absolutely.
Right? Sections like that.
Yes. And it's all about, it's, you know, there are some girls that love math, and that's so great. But a lot of girls don't, and I'm reaching out to the ones who would rather be reading a teen magazine than doing their math homework.
And you're telling them how to do math in this
absolutely.
Book, right? I mean, it's not just a book about your biography.
Not at all.
You're teaching kids how to do math.
Completely. And one of the things I did for the book was I researched by talking to middle school teachers, and I asked them, what are the topics that are most confusing for middle school girls or middle school students in general? What are the things that are the biggest stumbling blocks and the things that continue to haunt the kids in high school and beyond if they don't get it now?
Right.
Fractions.
Was the first thing I was going to say.
Fractions, but like not easy fractions. Like when fractions get hard, you know, and converting them to and from percents and proportion, using fractions in word problems, proportions and ratios and rates and things like that.
But you use a certain language to talk the vernacular with people. With the girls. You don't just say the math language. You teach that, you describe it in terms that girls would speak to each other.
Yeah, so I'm teaching solid math concepts, but in a conversational way. Because I don't know why math can't be conversational and fun.
Why can't it?
I think it is.
Well, why can't it be?
Right.
Well, why do you think, in your experience in school, why wasn't it taught to you the way that you're teaching it to other girls?
Well, Mrs. Jacobson, the seventh grade teacher, did do that. There are some teachers who do that, but they're few and far between. So for all the kids who don't have those kinds of teachers, I want to offer this book as a way of showing girls math is relevant in your lives, and it can be fun, and it can be conversational, and all the rest of it.
Let's go to Jeff in Flagstaff. Hi, Jeff.
Welcome. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Thanks. Go ahead.
I wanted to let Danica know that I think women in science and women in mathematics are extremely attractive. I found when I was in college.
Thank you. Great.
I found that when I was in college, the smart women to me were the attractive ones.
Yes, of course. And you know what's funny is, though, that so many girls don't get to become that because in middle school the belief is just the opposite.
That's true.
If only they could hear you right now. And maybe they are. Some of them are.
And I have one question for you. I have a degree in physics and a degree in astronomy, so I wanted to know what your favorite math class was in college.
Oh, my favorite math class was a class called Real Analysis.
Oh, really?
Yes. I love the abstract stuff. I understand you're more applied, and that's totally cool. What I love is, generally speaking, I love anything that has to do with infinity. I've always thought that was really neat, that we could even have a handle on that somehow in math. And I love the idea that in analysis, you get to prove the theorems that you use in calculus, and so much of that has to do with infinity.
Thanks, Jeff, for calling.
Thank you.
1-800-999-8255. Does your math interest leak out, especially like you touched on one of my favorite subjects. When I think of infinity, I think of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Does it leak out to physics or cosmology or any of those points that touch with mathematics?
Oh, I'm sure, in so many ways that even I haven't discovered.
Yeah,
math and science they're expansive. They touch so many different things, and math is the language of all of the sciences. So math is glorified in these wonderful applications.
I can tell that you have trouble understanding why other people don't like math and don't see it the same way that you do.
Well, actually, in middle school, I had such a hard time with it that I mean, I do remember. I'm not, you know, I relate to those middle school girls who are struggling because I struggled the same way. I used to cry when I got home. I'd be afraid to try my homework. And my parents, I should just say, never put pressure on me like that. They were great. I put the pressure on myself, and I remember what that's like. Speaking of parents, I do want to encourage all the parents listening to be involved in your kids' education. It's so important. It makes such a big difference whether it's
how do you be constructively involved without turning your kid off? Alienating,
so
nagging, that sort of thing.
Right. No, that's not what I mean. Have you done your homework?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you want to be in touch with them
right.
if they've done their homework or not. But I'm talking about reaching out to them in ways that are speaking to them, whether it's this book, Math Doesn't Suck, or sometimes kids need help in the moment. And there's a great on-demand tutoring service called tutor.com that I highly recommend. They're also giving 75 minutes of free tutoring to anyone who buys Math Doesn't Suck. It's great to have that help right then. If you don't happen to, as a parent, understand the math your kid's doing, you can refer them to this website. The other thing is I want to encourage moms to not talk about not being able to do math if that was the case for them. So many moms, Melanie's nodding over here. So many moms say to their girls, oh, I could never do math either. And guess what?
Uh-huh.
Now the girls feel somehow that they don't have to be good at math. It's like how if a mom is anorexic, chances are her daughter's going to have body issues as well. It's almost unavoidable.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about the math for the rest of the hour with Danica McKellar, who is author of Math Doesn't Suck, How to Survive Middle School Math Without Losing Your Mind or Breaking a Nail, and does tell you how to do that. Plus, we're going to expand it with other math people. We're going to have some math science, Olympiad winners, coaches. And your calls, our number 1-800-989-8255. Maybe you can call in and tell us about your experience with math in grade school, grammar school, what problems you had, how you overcame them, what you would like to see. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about girls, women, and mathematics. My guests are Danica McKellar, actress, a math education advocate, as she calls herself, an author of Math Doesn't Suck, How to Survive Middle School Math Without Losing Your Mind or Breaking a Nail. And now I'm going to bring on some other guests who will also join us and talk about math. My next guest is Jennifer Iglesias. She's a senior at the Illinois Mathematics and Science Academy. It's a special school in Aurora, Illinois. She was a member of the U.S. girls team that traveled to China in August to compete in the 2007 Girls Mathematical Olympiad. And this is the first time American girls had entered, and she joins us from WNIJ. It's public radio in DeKalb, Illinois. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hello.
Hi there. Melanie Matchett-Wood is a doctoral student in math at Princeton, and she was one of the coaches for Jennifer's class and her teammates who competed in the 2007 China Girls Olympic Math Olympiad. And how'd she get to do all that? Well, Ms. Wood was the first woman to make the U.S. International Math Olympiad team, and she won 2 silver medals. And she's here in our studio in New York. Welcome to Science Friday.
Good afternoon.
I never did congratulate you on those medals, so.
I wanted to congratulate both of them. Congratulations. That's so amazing. That's so exciting.
Really. And you're welcome. Our fourth guest is Dr. Maria Clavwe. Dr. Clavwe is a mathematician who talked with us 2 years ago about women in science when she was dean of engineering at Princeton, and now she's president of Harvey Mudd College in Claremont, California. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Clavwe.
It's great to be back.
Years ago, I can't remember who it was. We had a mathematician who was the only head of a mathematics department, female head of a mathematics department in America. Is that still true today? Mm-hmm. Are there more heads of math departments, women?
I think there are a few more, but I don't think there are very many.
Yeah, that's still a problem in mathematics.
Well, I would say it's better in math than some other areas. I mean, mm-hmm. math is one of the areas where girls and women have really made a lot of progress over the last 30 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Let me talk to you, Melanie, first. You're a brave woman to take eight teenagers to China.
It was an adventure.
I'll bet. How did you coach Jenny and the other girls?
Well, the story for taking this team of eight female students to China to compete in the Olympiad goes back many years. Zhu Mingfeng, a coach of the U.S. International Math Olympiad, and I wrote a proposal for the U.S. to participate in this competition because we thought it was so great that China had this opportunity for young women. And so over several years, through some wonderful sponsors, we were able to get funding for this program. And part of the program was that the eight girls were trained at a summer math program called Awesome Math, which was in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so the
Awesome Math. That's great.
My understanding is that the students who went to Awesome Math found the math pretty awesome.
That's great.
And so that is very exciting.
Aptly named.
Yes.
Is it still going on?
Yes. Yeah, so Awesome Math happens every summer.
That's great.
And then for 3 weeks, the students had some pretty intense training before they headed directly off to China for mm-hmm. some tourism. Since we were going all the way to China, we thought it was great to show the girls some of the sights.
You
and then
the
also, yes, we climbed up the Great Wall.
That's great.
We got some good exercise.
Let me ask Jenny how she liked. Jenny, Iglesias, what did you think?
It was awesome.
That's the word of the hour, I think.
Awesome math, awesome wall.
How was the competition? What did you think of the competition?
It was a lot harder than I expected, but it was a lot of fun to go there and compete. It was so much fun to be around other girls doing math as much as I liked it.
Mm. Now, your teammates won 5 medals, and the gold medal winner tied for first place with a Chinese girl. Were you disappointed that you didn't come home with a medal?
A little, but hopefully we'll get the same sponsors we did last year, and I'll be able to go back and try again.
How did you find the other competitors? Did you find that you matched up well with the other countries, or that you did very well as a team?
I felt that I was close to the same level as the other girls. Some of the Chinese girls were really amazing, though. The standard of education is so much higher over there, and they work so much harder.
The value system, I think, is different there as well.
Yeah.
Just overall, right? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing. I don't know that much about Chinese culture, but what was your experience? Did it seem like a culture of as much pop culture and reading teen magazines and all the stuff that we see?
They were all focused on learning. And I mean, I stayed at a high school connected to a college for the days we were in a competition. And it seemed like, I mean, there was a little bit of pop culture, of course, like at the little store, but not nearly as much as we have here.
Dr. Clave, girls in math changed over the years?
Well, I think it's changed a lot from when I was a high school student mm-hmm. and an undergraduate and then a PhD student in mathematics. It was really common when I was a high school student for teachers to say girls just can't do math. And I was the best math student in my school, and it was a reasonably large school. And so the math teachers would say to the boys, don't you feel horrible that you're being beaten by a girl?
Oh, my God.
And, it's interesting talking about China. I was giving a talk in China at the end of May, and I was talking about how it's really common if you're a mathematician and you introduce yourself to someone, they ask what you do, and you say, I'm a mathematician. They say, oh, I was really horrible at math.
Yes.
It's my worst subject. And they're proud of it. And I mentioned this in China, and just like there were about 500 people, and they just couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. It's just so different in China. I mean, saying you're bad at math is just like, that's shameful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me go to the phones because there are a lot of people want to ask questions and share their experiences, and I think that may be the best way to go today. Everybody likes to talk, and I'm glad to hear that. Tina in Livonia, Michigan. Hi, Tina.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. I just wanted to quickly tell my story. I was excellent at math all the way through high school, through calculus, AP calculus. Started taking mathematics at the university, and my crisis came when I was no longer perfect at it anymore. And I guess I just didn't have a mentor to tell me that, you know, sometimes this does get difficult and you need to work through it. My class that I took, it was a third-year level university math class, had a professor who didn't speak English very well, and when he finished through the proofs, I really just didn't understand what was going on, and I assumed it was because I was too stupid now, that I had hit my plateau, that I couldn't go any farther, mm-hmm. and I dropped the class. And I never took another math or science class after that. I went on to major in languages, and I found out years later that there had been a guy in my class who had been in the exact same class at the exact same time, and what he had done is that he had... he'd had the same experiences. He also found it impenetrable. He dropped the class, took it again with a different professor, mm-hmm. and he had by the end of the same time had an MA, or excuse me, a master's in engineering.
See, I think that, it seems like there, even despite your abilities in math, there was something in the back of your mind that was holding you back, right?
Yeah.
There's something in the back of your mind that said, we don't really belong here, and it's almost been a fluke, right? Yeah. Okay, so when I graduated from high school, this is Danica talking, I scored a 5 on the AP calculus exam, which is the hardest, you know, BC mm-hmm. exam, and I graduated in the top 3% of my class, and yet when I went to UCLA and I took a math class to fulfill a requirement, I never in a million years thought I'd become a math major. I didn't know how I was going to do in the class. I thought, my God, high school math was so hard. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'd survive college math. And if not me having gotten this 5 on the AP exam and done so well in my math classes in high school, then who are those college math classes for?
Mm-hmm.
It was something in the back of my mind. And it's got to be the messages that society tells us that math is not for girls. And it's amazing, even if you don't have, as Maria did, teachers literally telling you you're not supposed to be good at math,
mm-hmm.
it still gets in there somehow.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a extremely unfortunate problem in the math community that there's an idea that part of being good at mathematics is toughing it through and not ever needing help.
Right.
And because of that, the math community, I think, doesn't provide enough mentors to students and doesn't provide enough opportunities for students who are struggling to improve. There's an idea that you either can do mathematics or you can't, and then you're written off. And that's a huge thing that
it's
we need
so
to change, especially
true.
As a country when we need more people who excel in mathematics.
They say math is black and white, right? Well, yeah, I guess it's black and white in that there's a right answer and all the other answers are wrong, but it's not black and white in you either can or can't do math.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Claffey, what do you think about stimulating more interest in math in girls?
Well, I think one of the most important things to realize is that how fast you can learn a mathematical concept has nothing to do with how good you are at math.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things that is true in our culture but not true in Asia is that we believe that you're either born being good at math or you're not. It's like there's a math
mm-hmm.
gene.
Right.
And I think it's incredibly important for people to realize, just as if you practice basketball or some sport, you become better mm-hmm. at it. It's exactly that way for math.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy about Danica's book. And Danica, I'd heard all about you from Jennifer Chase.
Oh, wow.
And I actually have a copy of your book. And I think it's just great to have role models who look like normal, successful people who make it clear that they love mathematics. One of the reasons I love being at Harvey Mudd College is that everybody at Harvey Mudd College loves mathematics, and you can, mm-hmm. you know, like just walk into a room and say, I love mathematics. And everyone says, yeah, I do too.
And they don't look at you like you're from Mars.
It's just fabulous. And, you know, one of the things we've really been focusing on, like many other places, is trying to increase the percentage of female students. Mudd is only math, science, and engineering, and so we had traditionally been down at about 20%. Students, and over the last 10 years, this last year, our incoming class was 43% female, actually 43.5%. And it's just incredible. There are all these women who love mathematics.
Now, how many of them have that same doubt in the back of their mind is the question.
Every single one of them.
Okay, you see.
You know, that's...
Yep.
That's the thing that is so hard to get past.
Well, you know, it's hard about it. It's hard because, and correct me if I'm wrong, but because the problem starts so young, it starts in middle school, maybe even before that.
Does it start because boys and girls are in the same class? You hear this in debates over education.
I went to an all-girls school and I had the same thing.
You did. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you hear the argument being, well, the girls are afraid to say anything because they'll look like they know something.
Well, girls are afraid.
The boys, you know.
Girls are afraid of being not polite anyway. But yes, I do think it's easier for them. It was certainly, I think, easier for me being in an all-girls school. But I talk about that too in Math Doesn't Suck. Yeah. That girls tend to try to be polite and they don't want to raise their hand in class. And they, like you were saying, Melanie, they don't ask for help enough because they don't believe they're supposed to.
I think at the middle and high school ages as well, you see a lot of boys getting very competitive and very forward. And so they're raising their hands more, they're speaking out more in classes. Mm-hmm. And there is an idea that the people who are louder are better at mathematics. And you feel kind of like, oh, these people were loud and they were fast in math class. So that must mean I'm not one of them. And as Maria was saying, that getting a concept more quickly doesn't have anything to do with understanding it better.
That's right.
That same thing can be happening in classes, that you might not be shouting out the answer and you might not be the first one to think of it, but that doesn't mean you might not be the best math student in your class.
Yes.
We're talking about the Math This Hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Here, surrounded by really smart people, much brainier than I am. I'm with Danica McKellar, author of Math Doesn't Suck, How to Survive Middle School Math. Also, Jennifer Iglesias, so she was a member of the U.S. girls team that traveled to China in the 2007 Girls Mathematical Olympiad. Melanie Matchett-Wood, who was a coach on that team, and she's also the first woman to make the U.S. International Math Olympiad, and she won 2 silver medals. And also with us is Dr. Maria Clave. She's a mathematician who talked with us a couple of years ago, and she's now president of Harvey Mudd College in Claremont, California. Our number, 1-800-989-8255, to the phones. Charlotte in where are you calling from, Charlotte? It's Rabbi in Charlotte. I'm sorry. Is that right?
Hello?
Hi there.
This is Marlon. I'm calling from Charlotte.
Thank you. I'll get it right.
I'm so excited. Good afternoon to everyone.
Yes.
I have a 9-year-old daughter, so she's not at the middle school level yet. However, you know, I want to be proactive in how I am having her experience math, because right now I notice it in third grade, and it's the same thing in fourth grade, where it seems that they come home with a new concept every day that I'm not quite sure how much time is being spent developing it during the day, so I feel like I am actually reteaching it every night. And I want to be able, if I have to do that, I want to be able to incorporate concepts that, as Danica was saying, that she understands that math is a part of her everyday life.
Yes.
So just any thoughts on that to help out this mom?
Well, If you read Math Doesn't Suck, there's a lot of examples that relate to everyday life, and I have a feeling that because schools tend to be trying to introduce subjects earlier and earlier, you know, the fraction section starts off basic and gets advanced. She might only be able to relate to the early fraction stuff in the book, but there's a lot of real-world examples in all of it. So I encourage you to pick up the book and just see some of the fun, everyday scenarios that are in the book, and also some of the conversational manner in which I teach it. Kids are expected to learn so much now, so quickly, and that's why I just want to be able to slow it down a little. Mm-hmm. So the chapters are taught in a very slow, conversational, fun, kind of relaxed way, because otherwise kids are going to spin out of control.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
It is truly unique, I guess is a redundant way of saying it, but it's truly a unique book, Math Doesn't Suck, and it really does give lessons and how to look at mathematics, how to do a lot of these tough things you do, algebra and the fractions. But you also have a horoscope section in the book. Why do you have a horoscope section? Is that just an enticement to open the book?
Partially, absolutely. Yeah. I modeled the book after a teen magazine, absolutely, to make girls want to open the book. That's the first step. Open it. The math horoscope tells girls, you know, how they approach math based on their astrological sign. I've also got quizzes, personality quizzes, not math quizzes, but quizzes like, are you a mathophobe?
Right.
You know, do you have trouble focusing?
Well, and opening the book doesn't seem to be the problem with girls studying math. It's keeping the book open. I mean, girls seem
that's
to be naturally.
Step.
I mean, in general, about studying math, right?
Yes, but I think you'd find that girls don't like opening the book in the first place.
I think opening the book is a huge problem. Tons of girls who would never think of opening a math book for fun as an extracurricular reading
they'd
thing.
Even,
who would
they'd even
open
avoid,
this book?
Right.
This looks like 17 magazine, you know. this would be something fun to read.
But you were interested in math without this book.
Oh,
there are some.
Certainly.
Yes.
I mean, you know, people always say, well, you know, why do I think that so many girls have trouble doing math, which is a tricky question for me because I didn't have as much trouble. But if you look at the few women who are doing mathematics, especially at a professional level, you realize that there are huge numbers that we need to reach out to. And
yes.
This book doesn't have to be for every girl.
Right.
But when you look
for
at the numbers of
like
girls
math,
that are being missed.
Yes.
And if this book can reach them, that's amazing.
Oh,
all right. We're going to take a break and come back more and talk lots more with Dana McKellar, author of Math Doesn't Suck. Also with our mathematic geniuses we have here that just are blowing me away. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about the girls, women in mathematics. How well do they add up? If you have trouble with math, here's your chance to share that experience with my guest, Danica McKellar, an actress, a mathematician, author of Math Doesn't Suck, How to Survive Middle School Math Without Losing Your Mind or Breaking a Nail. Also with us is Jennifer Iglesias, who's a senior at the Illinois Mathematics and Science Academy in Aurora, Illinois. Melanie Matchett-Wood, the coach for the American girls team at the 2007 China Girls Math Olympiad, of which Jennifer Iglesias was a competitor. And Dr. Maria Clave is a mathematician and president of Harvey Mudd College in Claremont, California. Our number, 1-800-989-8255. We have covered the waterfront. We were talking during the break about the book Math Doesn't Suck, and I was mentioning to Danica that there should be a teacher's companion edition of this. I mean, it's really a textbook, but done so well, you know, in an everyday vernacular that maybe teachers should. You ever think about writing a teacher's edition of this, and then you could use it in school?
Well, I've actually had quite a few teachers email me telling me that they're using these concepts and some of the tips and tricks in their classroom. It's been extraordinary. I get emails not only for girls saying that they're from girls mm-hmm. saying that they've gone from C's to A's, and from parents saying that thank you so much, my daughter's actually interested in math now for the first mm-hmm. time ever, but teachers as well.
Jennifer Iglesias, what were your teachers like?
My teachers were all very supportive mm-hmm. all the way through. Starting in like third grade, my teacher started giving me extra stuff to do because I just kept going through the stuff. And then in middle school, I had an awesome math coach who really like inspired me and had me, I mean, he had me working hours a day, and it was so much fun training I was training for math counts at the time, but I learned so much and it was so much fun.
Is the training, and I'll ask both of you on this, is the coach and the student, is the training just like a sport? Is it that kind of training that you go through? Is it mental and physical?
Oh, definitely.
Do some push-ups. Yeah.
Well, they had, as an extracurricular activity at this competition in China, a dance and aerobics competition in the afternoons,
yeah.
which
That's
I think fun. Is a good blend with the mathematics to help you work off some of that stress that has been building while you sit for 4 hours. The girls took 2 days of exams. Each day they had 4 hours for the exam. And so you can imagine that the pressure can build up, and it's nice to run around a little bit after that.
Jennifer, is it mentally stressful, all this training and the competition?
I actually found it to be a lot of fun. I was stressed out a bit because I felt like I didn't know the concepts as well as the other girls, but I think I caught up pretty quickly. But I didn't feel that much stress on me because, I don't know, I was doing something that was fun, and I enjoyed it. And I was out there to have fun.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Clave, how do we take all this and expand it to other girls? I mean, how do we, you know?
Well, I'd say the first thing is that we need more math teachers in middle school and high school who, first of all, believe that girls can be great at math, and secondly, know how to inspire both girls and boys. And one of the biggest problems we're facing right now is that there, in most public schools, the people who are teaching math, they didn't major in math, they probably didn't minor in math, and they don't love math themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to find ways to get more people who are really passionate about mathematics and who are passionate about making it attractive to everyone, girls, boys, underrepresented minorities, whoever, and making it relevant to them and getting them into the schools. And I want to briefly mention a couple of groups that I think have done a lot in terms of making mathematics just more visible. The first one is the Mathematical Sciences Research Institute in Berkeley, and they were the people who managed to raise the funds to send the team, the girls' team, to China. And Jennifer, I know you're hoping to go again next year, and I'm hoping that MSRI, or as it's often called, will manage to fundraise again in order to send you. And Melanie, I'm hoping you're going to go be coach again.
Did the girls get invited to the White House? The winners? Anybody?
No.
Not as far as I know.
We have all the football players who get invited, right?
Yeah, they should be invited. Yeah. The other group I was going to talk about is an organization called Math for America that's in New York City that recruits people who really love mathematics and essentially puts them through their teaching credentials and then places them in public schools in New York, and that's something we're trying to extend to a number of other cities, including Los Angeles right now. From my perspective, every time we have somebody, like particularly Danica, but you know, any person who's visible saying, mathematics is really fun, it's exciting, it's important, it makes you smarter, it makes you feel good about life. Mm-hmm. That's just wonderful. And you know, it's one of the reasons I'm so excited about Danica's book. And Danica,
you.
I plan to get you to come out to Harvey Mudd College so you can be with all these other math lovers.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, well, now you are the Carl Sagan of math now. So
Carl Sagan. I like that.
You know, I mean, you are the you are the visible person who speaks out for all girls.
If I can get more and more girls to say math doesn't suck, I'll be happy.
Yeah, you know, and that I guess is not going to be your full time. You're still an actress and appearing in television. Where are you going to be seen next?
I'm going to be on a show called How I Met Your Mother on October 15th. It's just one episode, but it's a pretty funny episode.
What do you think of Numbers? Do you watch Numbers on TV?
I do like that show. Yes.
How can you bring math and how into other shows like that? Have you ever thought about that? Working math into some of the more popular TV shows.
I've thought about the fact that that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to like figure out how. But
it's a tough nut to crack.
There's ways. I mean, Numbers is a great start. It's a show where numbers and math are used to solve crimes. Mm-hmm. It's kind of sexy and fun.
I saw a wonderful episode in the first year of West Wing, where the president is telling his daughter, who's just started college, he's upset that she's not taking any math courses. And she's going, well, I don't have to anymore because I'm not in high school and I can take what I really like. And then it turns out that the head of the Federal Reserve or something like that is open, and he asks her if she wants the job. And she said, oh, yeah, I'd like that. And he goes, no way, you can't do that. You need math to have that kind of job.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, you know, like it was just such a perfect example of, you know, somebody, a powerful influence saying math is really important. And mm-hmm.
Aaron Sorkin, the writer.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. Is that where it came from?
Aaron Sorkin,
trying to figure
yes.
out who was responsible for that, because it's just a great conversation.
Well, you need more leaders to step up and say, I'm going to do this.
People sort of come out in the open and not be afraid of all the bad PR that math has, and not be afraid that people are going to think that you're a nerd just because you like math, mm-hmm. because that's what holds a lot of people back.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Peter in Salt Lake. Hi, Peter.
Hello. Do you have an opinion as to why some students may have great difficulty with algebra but find the geometry to be extremely easy?
Hmm. Seems to be two different parts of the brain. Don't you agree, Melanie?
Thanks, Peter.
Well, I think, you know, there are a lot of different kinds of math. And actually, I personally, you know, one of the big kinds of math you see in high school is calculus.
Yes.
And I personally don't like calculus very much at all.
Really?
And if that were, so we can both love math, and there are lots of different kinds.
It's true.
Yeah, and I love calculus.
Yeah,
now, my daughter is studying to be an accountant. Mm-hmm. And she just swum through calculus. And I said to her, you know, what do you like about accounting? She says, I love to crunch numbers.
Okay. So, hey, you know,
I said, okay.
Different
but there are a lot of different kinds of mathematics, a lot of different ways to be a mathematician,
yes.
A lot of different kinds of mathematical thinking.
Mm-hmm. A lot more jobs that use math than people realize. I mean, a lot
absolutely.
More, like the West Wing example. Mm-hmm.
And so if you love geometry but you hate algebra, don't give up on math, because there are huge fields of mathematics that, you know, follow on in the direction of the geometry that you learn in high school.
Absolutely.
And so you can still be a mathematician, even if you hated algebra.
Yep.
I think that's a really great point, because often, you know, when I meet somebody who doesn't like mathematics, my response is, you had a bad teacher at some
mm-hmm.
point.
Yep.
And, you know, often people, once they hit a math course that they find difficult, then they assume that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. And you can easily have trouble with one area of math and be absolutely fabulous in other areas.
That's right.
Yeah. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's go to the phones. Let's see who's up next. Doug in Tallahassee. Hi, Doug.
Hi, guys. I have a book recommendation. I think it's for Annika. It's called Thomas Gray, Philosopher Cat. I was prompted by her affection for infinity. And in this book, you experience it, but not mathematically per se. It's about a cat that stumbles onto an Oxford professor's desk. He teaches math, or Cambridge, rather,
uh-huh.
and helps him solve the square root of 17.
that
mystery
sounds so
of the
cute.
Greeks by where he lays his tail early on. But later on, in discussing the cat's own reminiscences about its mother's travels aboard a ship, that's when you experience the infinite by her description of something.
Oh, that
and
sounds
it's,
cute.
It's a non-math book.
Yes.
All right. Thanks.
You can experience infinity, and it's good for kids and for adults. It's written by Philip J. Davis of Brown University.
All right. Thanks
All
for
right.
calling,
Thank
Doug.
You so much.
Do you, a lot of times we hear that people who are good at math are also good at music. Do you find that in your own lives at all? Or
well,
are good musicians?
I have one for you, and
yeah.
that's that a lot of women who are good at math are also good at art.
Oh.
And that seems to be a much stronger connection for women than it is for men. And I've been quite surprised by that. I'm a very serious artist, and I've been amazed at how many women mathematicians and women computer scientists are also artists.
Do you mean artist in a really general term, or a specific, like, painter?
Visual art.
It's
really what I'm talking about. And, I mean, when I go to conferences, I tend to take my paints with me, and I'll paint in talks and so on. I'll have all these women come over and say, oh, this is so great. I love to paint, too. I didn't know there were any other women mathematicians who liked
well,
to paint.
I see Melanie shaking
her
head.
That's interesting. I'd never thought about it. But you know, as you say that, it strikes tons of examples in my mind. And the examples, when I think of the mathematician-musician,
mm-hmm.
I imagine a boy playing the violin.
Yes.
Right.
And so, you know, there are a lot of people who do that, but there are, you know, other
yeah,
kinds
I'm not,
of things
I'm not particularly
to do too.
Musically gifted. Are
I have
you?
No musical talent whatsoever.
Yeah, and it was actually the funny thing. My boyfriend is a composer, and he had to take algebra 5 times. So we always joke that music and math came together for us and that we found each other.
Well, it's obvious he wasn't cheating. So let's Jennifer, are you mathematically or musically inclined?
She's mathematically inclined.
I mean, or artistically inclined. Boy, it's a Friday afternoon. Let me remind everybody, this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Sorry, Jennifer, to step on your answer that I asked you the question.
I played trombone for a couple years, but I don't think I had that much talent with it, and I got in trouble once for drawing a really bad circle on the board, so I don't think I'm very artistically inclined.
Well, they don't always have to go
together.
Yeah. Maybe people remark on it because they're so surprised when it does happen.
I like running.
I was going to ask you what else
cross
you like.
Country, yeah. And I can ride a unicycle, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. You need to come to Harvey Mudd College. We have got a lot of unicycle riders here.
Really?
a whole dorm of them.
Oh, my. I think one problem for mathematics is that there are so many stereotypes about what it means to be a mathematician.
That's true.
And, you know, you don't have the stereotype that a cross-country runner is going to be a good mathematician, but, you know, they can be.
Sure,
and,
why not?
And, And so I think if we break down some of those stereotypes, we can get a lot more people to do mathematics and to love mathematics.
Are there any good movies? I mean, there was the A Beautiful Mind movie. Did you see that movie?
Yes, I did see that movie.
Did you like that movie?
I like that movie. And I also like Proof, which I saw several times in the theater, and and also the movie version. But a problem with both of those is they portray mathematicians as kind of crazy.
Crazy. They lost their mind.
Right.
Yeah.
So what about Good Will Hunting? What do you think about that?
He wasn't as crazy. He was just depicted as sort of a rebel.
And I like the image that you can be a sort of upstart. You can be an underdog mathematician. You don't have to have gone to the best schools and had the best training. I like that image.
Yeah.
It's too bad it wasn't a woman. But
Right.
Exactly.
Does the name...
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask for Melanie and Danica and Jennifer. I mean, one of the things that I'm pretty depressed about right now is things have really changed for women in mathematics. We're at about 30% of the PhDs in mathematics going to women now. But the opposite thing seems to have been happening for computer science, in that the percentage of females who are majoring in computer science at the undergraduate level and at the graduate level has been declining. And I was just wondering if you have any sort of thoughts about that. I mean, we seem to be much more successful in promoting math to girls than promoting computer science.
It probably has to do with the stigma attached to it, again, the computer nerd, right?
I think there's a big image of, on your computer playing Warcraft.
Yeah.
and that's what computer science is. I mean, I think the image problem is even harder.
Yeah, I think it probably is. And that's the influence you see. Like, I guess what you're saying is that it got better for a while, and now it's getting worse, right?
Well, no, actually, it started out being fairly good. About 35% of the undergraduate majors in computer science, when computer science became a discipline, were female. And apparently that's partly because people thought it involved typing, and women were known to be good at typing.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
it's amazing how stereotypes play into everything.
I just have
isn't it weird?
Well, let me have about less than a minute left. Let me ask, are you worried that there are more women abroad who are studying math and being competitors for jobs than you are? Is there a concern there?
I'm worried that there are more women and men studying math and engineering abroad than there are here, and I think that's really dangerous for the future of the U.S.
Yeah, and I think it speaks to, again, the pop culture that's so, it's just omnipresent here in this country that might not be such a big deal in other countries. Mm-hmm. Part of why in math doesn't suck, I want to tell girls, look, you can do both. You don't have to turn your back on the fun stuff, but be smart too.
Mm-hmm. One thing that's exciting about the number of women we see studying math is in other countries, is it shows that there's absolutely nothing to these ideas of genetic
biological, absolutely
aptitude for mathematics.
Yeah, the Larry Summers myth.
Yeah, I mean, it shows that the effects are cultural, and so maybe we can do something about them.
All right, and that's the last word, and it's a good word to end on. I want to thank all my guests this hour: Adana McKellar, who is an actress, lives in Los Angeles, as well as a author of Math Doesn't Suck, How to Survive Middle School Math Without Losing Your Mind or Breaking a Nail. A really excellent book. I recommend it to you if you want to learn a little bit about math and use it as an instruction. Jennifer Iglesias is a senior at Illinois Math and Science Academy in Aurora, Illinois. Melanie Matchett-Wood is a doctoral student in math at Princeton University. And Dr. Maria Clave is a mathematician and president of Harvey Mudd College in Claremont, California. Thank you all for
a
delightful hour.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
Anne-Marie Cunningham is our producer for this hour. Josh Rogerson is our technical director, and our audio engineer is also Josh, working the controls today. Greg Smith composed our theme music, and we had help today from NPR librarian Aki Molesky. If you have comments or questions, write to us at Science Friday, 4 West 43rd Street, room 306, New York, New York, 10036. Also, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, where we're podcasting and blogging. And if you want to try something new, we're also in Second Life, and you can find us there. We look at folks wearing Science Friday t-shirts on those avatars, and taking questions from you for our audience. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flato in New York.